Good evening, everybody. It's 7:30, so we'll call the Animal Control Board meeting to order. And I'd like to go through a roll call of who's here. So Mary Jo LaFranc, are you here?
Mary Jo LaFrance, present.
And Marie Stiles? Got your mute button up there, Dr. Stiles?
Here.
Dr. Handel?
David Handel's here.
Okay. And Angela Kremer?
Here.
And Natasha Chapman?
Present.
And Yamil Hernandez?
Present.
And I believe that's it from the board, correct? Anybody else on the board here? Okay. All right, first item of business would be the approval of the minutes. I make a motion to approve the minutes. Would anybody second that motion?
Second.
So approved. And then we will go ahead and proceed with the hearing in the matter of May Schlass versus Cindy Brown, case number 0067-20. First, let me just give a little explanation to you all how this works. The complainant will have the opportunity to give a brief opening statement, 5 minutes or less. The respondent will have the same, will then go to give an opening statement if they want to. Then it will go back to the plaintiff. The plaintiff will call their first witness, which could be your, I'm sorry, the petitioner, the complainant. It could be yourself, okay? And then when you're done with your testimony, then the other side has the opportunity to cross-examine. I'll ask the board members if they have any questions and they can ask any further questions at that time. We'll go through all of your witnesses in that same manner. Their direct testimony and then the cross-examination. Then when the complainant is done, then it'll be the respondent's turn to do the same thing. Call your witness, get the testimony out of the witness or yourself, the other side cross-examines, and then that's the end of your case. And then each person will be given 5 minutes to make a closing argument. I think we've all read the packet, so you don't need to sort of just read the packet to us because we've all looked at it and we're all familiar with it. You are free to present the evidence that you deem appropriate. And with that, I think we go ahead and begin. So first thing, I guess we want to do is swear everybody in.
Never mind, just saying, yep.
Okay. So all of you who are going to testify, all right, whether as a complainant, respondent, and your witnesses, I need you to raise your right hand. That would be you too, Ms. Schlash.
All right, yep.
I think that's everybody. All right. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalties of perjury?
Yes.
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 What did I do? I do. Oh, Mr. Schwartz, are you also a witness, Mr. Schwartz?
I was instructed by the officer that I could read a statement at this hearing.
Okay, Ken, that would make you a witness. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you. So then the next thing that we're going to do, what we always do is sequester the witnesses. So the complainant and the respondent will remain, but all of the other witnesses will be, you know, out in the hallway, virtually out in the hallway, and then you'll come back in when you're called to come in. Okay?
Perfect.
All right. We got that?
Just to be clear, anybody that was a witness should be unable to hear any of the opening statements, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Schwartz is still here. I think he's a witness.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm in the process. It's not a quick process.
No. Sorry.
Okay, and then I have a few people that I should be making not appear on the screen, so bear with me one more second. I think that's correct.
Yeah, Cindy Brown needs to be here. She's the respondent.
Okay. Oh, sorry about that. All right, so I thought we were doing complainants first. I'm sorry.
We are, but the respondent and the complainant are entitled to be present for the entire proceeding.
Ah, oh, yeah, okay. I have a Natasha and a Yamel.
Yeah, Yamel should, yes, they should both be here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay, and I have Mr. Schwartz, Ms. Palmer, and Ms. Colville in the holding area.
Perfect. Okay, Ms. Slash?
Yes?
You're the complainant, so this is your opportunity. Again, would you like to give a brief opening statement?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I would like to just kind of give an overall purpose and what I'm expecting out of this hearing, I suppose, because like you said, most of the information, factual information, is in the packet. So I don't want to be redundant, but the purpose of me filing this complaint in general is to deem Cindy's dog, Ellie, as a potentially dangerous animal for the community. One that displays unsafe and very threatening behavior with an intent to cause harm to what I've observed in my own dog and to other small dogs, and potentially other dogs in the neighborhood. I also would like to show that the owner is not able to control the dog's behavior or restrain them effectively, which resulted in the incident that occurred with my dog, and that the owner has not attempted to, since the incident, avoid any kind of other further dangerous interaction with my dog or any kind of potential attack, and purposely walks towards a potential incident instead of away. So I'm hoping that by the end of this, after referencing the ordinances chapter 4, there are two specific sections that I'm really targeting here, which are section 4.4 and 4.5. One is that Ellie is a public nuisance, which disrupts and causes discomfort to a lot of the neighbors in the neighborhood. And section 4.5, and many parts of that section, I can actually address once I give my own testimony, that Ellie is potentially dangerous in a number of ways. So I can go into all that later, but I did want to make sure that you all understand that I read chapter 4 very carefully, and that these two sections are the most pertinent sections for this hearing.
All right.
And I hope to have, what I'd like to get out of this is a removal of this animal from this community, because, again, there's an incident that occurred on my own dog, but I also observed another incident on another dog and observed other interactions with more dogs in the neighborhood. So I'd like to come away with this by removing the threat from the community so that this community could feel safe.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Flash. Ms. Brown, would you like to give an opening statement? You need to unmute yourself.
I am not a public speaker. This is not my thing. I have written up what I wanted to say, so I will get to that, I guess, when I can. You know, I didn't go out to adopt a dog that had problems. They came along the way. I have sought out professionals, Mary Hunsberry, Dr. Marcia Reich, who's a veterinary behaviorist, and I have been working with them on a regular basis. And in the last 30 days or so, we have actually gotten Ellie on a good medication regime that has kept her a lot calmer, much easier to walk. I have started walking her with a muzzle. She's on a harness and a 6-foot leash. The incidents occurred because of a retractable leash and a swim collar that I was using on her, and there are pictures in the packet. I am no longer using those. Human error, you know, I was doing the best that I could. It took a while. As soon as I noticed the issues, I started to address them. She is not a hazard to humans. She actually goes to a long-term care community in the area and visits with the residents. There's a letter in the packet to that. There's actually two letters in the packet about that. She is not a public nuisance. She is not outside barking all the time. She is inside. Our windows, our front windows, are about 2 feet from the sidewalk. So if somebody walks by, she will bark to protect her home. But she's inside and she can't get out the window. Don't find her to be potentially dangerous. She, especially now in the, with the meds that she's on, she doesn't really care about other dogs that approach her. Maybe some of the walking, you know, not walking away from my neighbor is because of the harassment that I've received. You know, so that would be a human thing, not an Ellie thing.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Slash, would you like to present your first witness, who can be you or someone else?
I think, so let it be me first.
Yeah.
And I can have them follow me, correct?
Yep, absolutely. Whatever order you want it in.
Right. Okay, so I'll go first. Just to go back to some of the ordinances in the chapter four.
Okay, well, this is your opportunity to tell us what happened, okay?
Okay, that's fine. I'm ready for that, too. Okay.
Okay, so listen, when you do close, when you do your closing argument, that's when I think you'll want to weave in the facts that you've told us about to the law, okay? But this is your time for you to tell us your story. Give us your testimony, okay?
Okay, perfect. Got it. Okay, well, what happened was, I know the statement, you guys have read it, but I think it is important to hear it again because I may have some other things in there. I was walking, it was around 5:30.
My apologies, I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry, my Google's going off. On February 8th at around 5:30, I was walking Dewey back from a walk. And in order to walk back to my home, I have to walk by Cindy's door. So on that, which I'm entitled to, that is a sidewalk that's public. So I was walking down that sidewalk and Ellie came out first, before the owner came out, on that retractable leash that Cindy mentioned. As soon as Ellie saw Dewey, who was a few yards away, she charged at Dewey immediately, very aggressively, spotted and charged immediately, which is something that's been observed with Ellie anytime any other dog is around. She tends to see a dog and then Cindy has to struggle a little bit to restrain Ellie from, not a little bit, but significantly, and restrain Ellie from continuing to charge at the other dog. She lost control of the dog. However that might have happened, she lost control of the dog. This dog then, instead of, you know, just remaining calm, went towards Dewey and ripped Dewey off of his collar. So I understand one thing is there was a picture in here about a collar being frayed. The collar was not frayed prior to the incident. The collar was ripped off of Dewey's neck and Ellie proceeded to continue to attack Dewey about three times because Dewey would kind of get loose, but then Ellie would go back and try to charge at Dewey. Finally, the last thing was Dewey, Ellie had Dewey in the middle of the street, had literally slammed Dewey on his back, which there's evidence of rib fractures from the veterinarian. I don't know if you read that, but there's fractures on the ribs because of that. And went for the neck, specifically creating an incision or a wound or some sort of wound in the neck area. So I eventually I couldn't take it anymore. I was watching my dog being killed. And so I had to do something, although I was very terrified of Ellie myself. And I didn't know what, I was a little bit in like a shock. Do I want to get myself in the middle of this? Will Ellie attack me? I don't know. But it was such a vicious situation that it took me a while to figure out what I needed to do. Finally, I couldn't take watching my dog like on the ground, pinned on the ground like that with Ellie on top of her. I had to kick Ellie. And finally, when I kicked Ellie, Ellie ran off somewhere. And I was no longer aware of what Ellie's situation was. I was concerned about my own dog. So Dewey got up in some sort of adrenaline rush and started running around and I had to get him back into my home. Once I got him back home, he came into my lab shaking, and he was bleeding from somewhere. And I didn't know where. But I was also very shaken up. This has never happened to me in my life. I've never witnessed anything like this. Even talking about it right now is emotional. So it's not an easy thing to witness, your dog being viciously attacked by another. So my neighbor thankfully came in to check on me to see how she's doing, Elizabeth Palmer, who's also one of the witnesses. She drove me to the vet. Once we got to the vet, initially, I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not a medical professional. He just seemed shaken. Nothing else was going on. I don't know. But as you can see from the medical records or the report, once they went in to do surgery to close up some of the wounds, they found that the jugular vein had been dislocated and they had to relocate the jugular vein. And word for word, verbatim, the veterinarian said, your dog dodged a bullet. Because had that jugular vein been punctured, my dog would have been dead. So it was a significant surgery. It was, you guys saw the pictures, correct? Everyone has seen?
Yeah, but if you're referring to something, you should refer to the page number so that we can all be looking at just exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm sorry, all right.
No need to apologize.
It'll take me a while here. The picture of Dewey, so if you look at the packet and you look at exhibit number 10, it's on page 33.
Okay.
Okay, so you'll see that is an incision where, that's one of the incisions where he had to have a drainage tube put in. To close up that wound right there. But that wound also, once the veterinarian went in, discovered that it was worse than she thought, which is the jugular vein and tissues where more tissue is damaged. Again, that is in the medical report. So if we look to page 2, if we look at page 27 of the report, you'll see that...
I'm sorry, would you like these on screen?
I mean, if people would like that, if people want to reference it, it's up to whoever anyone else wants.
I mean, I have them in front of me, but I think it would be helpful.
But there is, if we look at page 2 of that, page 27 of the packet. Yeah, that's the post-surgical pictures. Yep. So he had multiple wounds all over, but the biggest one is the one here in the neck and chest area. And if you look at the paragraph that says wound on chest clipped and cleaned with dilute solution, whatever, the second sentence says, upon exploration, the extent of the pocketing was larger than initially suspected and including exposing the intact, had it not been intact, he would not have been alive, jugular vein. So an incision, so they had to look at that. So, I mean, this is evidence of an attack by a dog. There's really nothing more I can say on proof that an attack occurred right now. I can continue to tell you what happened afterwards, which is what happened after he was released. So he was, Diane Koval, which is my other witness, was there with me at the animal hospital all night. She heard everything that the veterinarian also said. With regard to the injuries that occurred as a result of the attack. The next day, he needed to go out to urinate and defecate as any other animal would. And he was still slightly probably under the meds and not feeling a lot of the pain. But then the next day, I had taken off for 3 days. I'm a teacher from Montgomery County Public Schools. I had to take off for 3 days. Because the next day, although in the morning initially he seemed okay, he then started to stop moving. So he literally would not get out of his dog bed for over 8 hours a day. And should he move any part of his body, he was in extreme amount of pain and would scream. So then because of that concern, I took him back to my vet because they were open. At Canal Clinic, Dr. Taylor, and she prescribed and gave him some pain, more pain medication. And then 3 days later, he started having this strange gait where he couldn't walk very easily at all. So I'd have to carry him in and out to go to the bathroom up after that. And then, so then I took him back to the emergency hospital. At that point, the veterinarian on duty on the 12th was February 12th, actually noted that there were residual fractures in his ribs from the attack. So this is not, I know there's something in here where a witness of, or a statement was made from the respondent's part about Dewey looked okay the next day. It doesn't matter whether someone would perceive if it looks okay or not. If they're not a medical professional, they don't know. And an attack is an attack.
Okay, so, I'm sorry. Can you just tell us what page the fractured rib situation is on?
The fractured rib page was on, so there's a medical report, I'm sorry, medical report on the 12th. So there's one from the 8th, which is the day of the attack, and then there's one from the 12th.
Okay.
Which is, let's
see. Page 30.
Oh, here we go. So there's page 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see that? You found that as well? Okay, thank you, Phil. So it says, do we present it, evaluation for back pain? Yeah, so. At the end of the day, I'm just providing facts from medical professionals, visual images as to what happened as a result of the attack, and that I just don't want this happening again to my dog. And I am fearful. When I walk outside, I'm very fearful. I have to look everywhere and around in my surroundings. I should be able to walk my dog comfortably in my own neighborhood. And at this point, every time I see Cindy and her dog, I have to literally pick Dewey up and hold him just in case. She could be a mile away. I'm still going to do that. That's all I can say. I know my witnesses will have more to say as well that can support some of this other stuff.
I have a question because you made reference to other incidents, I think, with Ellie. And so if you wanted us to know about any of those other incidents, you should tell us.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So on April 26th, I did report another incident that I observed outside of my bedroom window. I heard some commotion at 7:30 a.m. I didn't know what was going on. My witnesses will speak to this as well because they were also woken up by it. I looked out the window and I had seen another dog owner with two small dogs and Cindy without Ellie. Ellie was not on a leash in any capacity. And Cindy was on the ground somewhere, somehow, kind of like holding her dog down to prevent something from happening. I then continued to see what's going on outside. The other individual, the other lady who I actually spoke to 2 hours later because I saw her walking her dog, and I actually have her contact information, and she said she had reported that incident as well to you. I actually have a picture of her dog also bandaged with the arm that, the leg that Ellie had bitten on her dog. So they had to put a bandage around that dog's leg as well. I was looking out the window, I saw that. I then texted my neighbors, I'm like, do you see what I'm seeing? They saw it too. And then as Cindy actually picked Ellie up, she saw me in the window and actually cursed at me. For what reason, I don't know. She just said, F you, mouthed it to me. And I'm not sure, I mean, again, there's this whole situation is one, her dog is dangerous, and two, she needs to take responsibility to make sure this dog does not attack another.
Okay.
Okay? Like, that's the bottom line. Like, that's okay. Really.
Did you have any further testimony that you wanted to give before we start with questions?
No, I'm okay.
All right.
Yeah.
What we're going to do, go ahead and do, Ms. Brown, you can cross-examine Ms. Slash, and what that means is you ask her questions about her testimony. You'll get an opportunity to tell your story too, but this isn't that moment. This moment is if you want to ask her any questions about her testimony. So you go ahead and do that if you want to.
Nope, I'll cover it when I speak.
All right, no questions. Does the board have any questions? Any of the board members have any questions of Ms. Slash before we move on to the next witness. All right, Dr. Stiles. Dr. Stiles has a question. Go ahead.
Ms. Slash, I'm sorry, when was the second incident that you were describing?
That was April 26 at around 7:30 a.m. It was a Sunday morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else? All right, why don't you call your next witness, Ms. Slash?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask Liz, Elizabeth Palmer.
Okay.
I believe Mary Jo has a question.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, Mary Jo. I'm sorry.
Just wanted to know if there are any cooperating witnesses for these other incidences that are not in the record this evening. Other besides yourself.
Yes, both of my witnesses saw the second incident.
Thank you. And also one last question. There's an example, and I'm sorry everything's so dark. My transformer exploded a few minutes ago, and so my electric is off. So be patient with me as I try to read the picture. Okay, on the packet, page 61, mm-hmm. I was just curious when it shows the townhouse doors. Are you and are you guys living next door to each other? Or is this the picture of your two doors or no?
No, that's, so 330 is Cindy's front doorstep. I'm over to the left, which is not in this picture. So okay. I'm to the left and I'm an A unit. So we're the two lower units.
Okay.
And then what you're seeing, the stairwell going up, is the B unit above Cindy.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
No problem.
That's it.
All right, why don't you go ahead and call your next witness? I think you did, actually.
Yeah. Are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry, who are you calling?
You have to probably bring him in, right?
Yes, yeah. Who was it?
Okay.
You need to say the name so that Drew knows who to call.
Palmer.
Palmer?
Elizabeth Palmer.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Palmer, can you unmute yourself? There you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you go ahead, Ms. Slash, and you ask Ms. Palmer questions, and then she'll answer them.
Okay. Well, Elizabeth, could you please state what you saw February 8th? Could you please explain the incident from your perspective and what you saw that day in terms of
the
traffic?
Sure. So it was early evening in the living room, heard barking, heard screaming outside. I look out my window and I see the two dogs initially on the corner of the street, and then I see the Ellie chasing Dewey across the street. So it's right outside my window. Ellie was clearly on top of Dewey. And then Dewey got away from Ellie. So I heard that. I ran downstairs to see what was going on. When I came downstairs, I saw Cindy on the floor bleeding. So I went to help Cindy and help her with the bleeding. I asked her if she wanted an ambulance. She said no. And then that was all I saw. So that was what I saw that night as far as the incident. And then I went in and helped Cindy get cleaned up, got some paper towels, cleaned up the blood off her face. My boyfriend was with me at the time, and he's here too. So didn't get his official statement on here, but he was here, and Cindy's statement, he's the gentleman she references, the neighbor that helped put the leash around him, and then came in and brought the dog into the house. So, and he helped May get the look for the dog, yeah. And then May got the dog.
Okay, so Ms. Palmer, I'm just going to follow up with just clarity about exactly what it is that you witnessed between the two dogs.
I witnessed the Ellie chasing Dewey, and then I witnessed Ellie on top of Dewey across the street in the Mews. Okay. From my window. I saw this from my window looking down because I went out to my window because I heard the screaming.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Ms. Slash.
Okay. So Elizabeth, have you had any experiences on your personal experiences with Cindy's dog, Ellie, that have made you uncomfortable and see Ellie as a potentially dangerous animal in the community?
Yes. So I had another incident right after I moved in where and it wasn't Cindy walking the dog. It was a gentleman walking Cindy's dog. As soon as I come out of my street, I live two doors down from Cindy. Dog Ellie is charging and barking at my dog. I've had that experience that at least once before. It's actually twice. And then on the April 27th, another incident where I was walking my dog and coming around the corner and Ellie immediately starts charging my dog. I asked Cindy to put the dog on the muzzle. She said she was aware. And I asked her, then if you're aware, then put the dog on the muzzle. But as soon as she sees a dog, she's after that dog. I'm trying to think of another time. Yes, I did see the other incident on the 27th earlier in that morning, that April incident, when I heard some scream. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And this is an email I sent to Officer Brennis, Officer White, that I heard the noise in the morning, and I looked out my window, and I hear screaming between a couple people. I look out my window, and I see the screaming between a woman with two smaller dogs, Cindy. Cindy's on top of her dog, holding the dog down, and then Cindy's picking up the dog and walking her back across the street. And I have pictures of that, and those are the ones that I sent to Officer White as well, too.
Just two more questions, and these could be yes or no. So do you feel safe having, just yes or no? Do you feel safe having Ellie in this neighborhood?
No.
Do you feel Cindy has control over her dog?
No.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
All right, do any of the board members have any questions they want to ask before we let Ms. Brown cross-examine? I have one. How long have you lived next to Ms. Brown?
I just moved in November 1st.
Okay.
And I met her the day of the incident.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Any other board members? I see no hands raised. Okay. Ms. Brown, did you want to ask Ms. Palmer any questions about any of that?
Nope.
All right. Ms. Schlash, would you like to call your next witness?
Yes, I'd like Diane Koval. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Ms. Koval, do you have your video and your audio on? There you go.
I do now, yes.
Great. All right, Ms. Schlash, why don't you go ahead with your questions?
Okay. Hi, Diane. Okay.
Hello.
So, Diane, could you please give a brief description of what you observed after the incident and what you heard from the veterinarian as a result of the injuries that occurred from the attack at the hospital, at the animal hospital?
Okay, sure. So on the day that it occurred, I met up with May and her other friend Kelly and I over at the veterinary hospital, and I was there prior to Dewey going in for his surgery. And the vet was just explaining what she thought was wrong, and she was going to go in and fix it. It shouldn't be that bad. It should be out. It wouldn't take that long. But then we sat there and we waited a lot longer than the vet had originally said it was going to take. And so we're like, okay, well, maybe they just got started late. Didn't know. So eventually the vet came out and we were relieved. She was like, you know, Dewey's okay. Everything's fine. But I got to tell you, it took longer than I had thought it was going to take, because when we got in there, there was more damage than we realized. Specifically, she mentioned that from the attack, whenever Ellie attacked Dewey, that a tooth must have caught onto Dewey's jugular vein and had pulled the jugular vein like down and out. So when they went in to stitch Dewey up, there was this extra vein, the jugular vein was hanging there, and they realized what it was, and they had to take that in and go back up and push the jugular vein back up and replace it and stitch it. And she said, so that took a lot longer. And she looked at us and she said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, Dewey was very lucky that had Ellie's tooth gone, you know, just a little bit either way into the jugular, Dewey would have bled out really fast from the jugular vein and would have died. So you got really lucky that the tooth really just missed the jugular. And so then, you know, they told us all that and then stitched Dewey up and gave May all of the instructions and everything to take him home. And like, I mean, I can speak to it more from after that, but that was that's what happened in the hospital.
Okay. Perfect. All right, can I ask the next question?
You can.
Okay. Could you speak to the incident that you also observed on April 26th at 7:30 in the morning? And did you observe it, A, and what did you observe?
Sure. So on April 26th, I was in my kitchen getting coffee early on a Sunday morning, like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And I heard a lot of barking, but not just like dogs barking, but like dogs fighting barking, like squealing, like screeching, kind of clearly dogs fighting. So I went to the front of my house where my windows are and looked out over the street, and I observed a very small dog looked almost just like Dewey. And I'm like, oh my God, it happened again. Like Ellie got attacked again by Dewey got attacked again by Ellie. And cause I looked and I saw this woman standing there with this little tiny dog. And then I saw there was another dog. And I'm like, what's going on? And I looked and I saw Cindy was on the ground, like right in front of this woman. And this woman was sort of standing there yelling and just talking to Cindy, not talking, but like physically being like yelling at Cindy. And Cindy was on the ground in what looked like pajamas, like no bra, but like a white pajama top on and like pajama bottoms and slipper type shoes. And just was like hovered over next to like a car holding something. And like, what is going on out there? And they were like, and this woman was clearly just spewing things at Cindy, clearly physically upset. And then I saw that woman start to sort of walk down the street away, and her dogs are there. And I'm like, wow, this dog, one of her dogs looked like kind of limping, like it was injured. And she turned around and kept saying more and more stuff back towards Cindy. And then she'd walk a little and kept saying more stuff back towards Cindy. And Cindy was clearly like hovered, holding something on the sidewalk. And finally I saw then Cindy get up, and when she stepped back to get up, she bent down and she'd picked up Ellie. So Ellie was not on a leash. Just, I guess she had just was holding her down so Ellie would not run away. And then eventually she bent down and then picked up Ellie, you know, no leash on, and just walked across the street holding Ellie and carried her back into the house.
Okay. Have you had any other experiences where you've seen any kind of antagonistic behavior from Cindy with regard to kind of taking ownership of what happened that day?
Right. No.
Or trying to avoid. Have you seen any kind of avoidance or behavior showing that she's avoiding the situation or otherwise?
No, I have not witnessed her trying to avoid coming into contact with you or with Dewey. Actually, quite the opposite. I mean, we live in a community where we have behind where we live, there is a sort of an alleyway. It's called the Mews. And during quarantine, a bunch of the neighbors have been getting together and sort of socially distancing in our driveways. And I have witnessed on several occasions that Cindy will come home from somewhere in her car and clearly can see us all sitting there. And she'll come home, go into her driveway, and then come back out to walk Ellie. And when you come out of her driveway, you can either go to the right and go right out to the street, which is close, you know, to the street to walk your dog. But instead of going to the right, which is closer to get to the street and out of the Mews, she purposefully goes to the left, which means she has to go right by Dewey and you and the rest of us. And every time she does that, then Dewey starts to sort of shake, and Ellie starts to aggressively bark toward Dewey, and then you pick Dewey up and have to run into the garage, and she just walks on by, and all of that wouldn't be bad enough, but then she makes little comments, which I have personally heard her say it. She'll walk by and go down, and then she'll come back. And on the way back, you'll see her coming. And so you pick up Dewey and again go into your driveway. And she walks by and makes these comments like, oh no, grab your dog. You know, Dewey's so scared. Oh, my dog's so scary. Grab Dewey and run. And like, I'm like, okay, well, that's not a person who's showing that she understands that her dog attacked your dog. And she's just like making light of the fact that Dewey is obviously shaky around when she sees Ellie, and that you would obviously be, she's just very cavalier with how you might be feeling and just making jokes about, oh, you're scared of my dog, go run and be scared. And then just recently, just the other day, we were sitting outside, and again, she came out of her garage and purposely came to the left. And then she stops to make some kind of, to talk to another neighbor and makes a comment. But the whole time she was there, she had Ellie on her, or her leash. And Ellie was, you know, and you picked up again, went into your garage. And Ellie is again, just aggressively like lunging towards the garage, trying to get to Ellie. And, you know, I mean, and she, it took all of her strength to hold back that dog. And the, and if she had fallen or tripped, there's no doubt you know, Ellie would have lunged toward the garage. And that didn't have to happen. Just come out and go to the right. But she purposely puts herself and Ellie into that situation. I will say, though, that Ellie is muzzled. Right after the attack had happened, there was no muzzle. I mean, she would walk around the neighborhood without a muzzle on Ellie. And it wasn't until recently that she suddenly started having a muzzle on Ellie. No. And then regarding aggressive behavior that you stated, oftentimes Cindy does put her dog out on her back deck. And any dog that walks by on the back deck, Ellie is aggressively, we're talking face up to the pillars, the dividers, things between the deck, like head through the railings, just aggressively barking. And people on the mews will kind of back up because it's a very aggressive barking through the railing at other dogs as they walk by. So yes, the dog's been very aggressive. There's been no sign of ownership or anything to remorse. She hasn't been avoiding and just very antagonistic with her behavior and her comments.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have anything else you wanted to ask?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Did any of the board members have any questions they wanted to ask? Ms. Brown, did you have any questions that you want to ask of the witness?
No, I'll wait till I read my statement. Thank you.
Okay. Did you have any, thank you, Ms. Koval.
Sure.
Did you have any other witnesses that you wanted to call?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well then, Ms. Brown, you can call your first witness.
Well, I'm going to read my statement.
Okay.
That's okay. All right.
Yep. Well, go ahead.
First, I want to clarify or dispute some of the items in the packet that we all received. Page 15, 1B states Ellie barks continually and makes disturbing noises. Ellie does not bark continually. We do have dogs in the neighborhood that do bark all day long, including Maze. Her upstairs neighbor has said this several times. When awake, if someone passes by the front window, Ellie will bark, but she also has a right to protect her property. She no longer can see out of the window because I purchased a shade that comes from the top up down and not the bottom up. She can't get out the windows and the windows aren't open, but yeah, she's gonna bark to protect her property. Page 25 of May's affidavit states three attacks on her dog. I don't understand that when there was one event on February 8th. Page 54 shows only the texts and emails that May chose to share. It doesn't show all the harassing emails and texts that I received or the note that she slapped on my door that said, "Your dog must go," that I not very nicely slapped back on hers so she would know I saw her put it there. I didn't submit the text or the Facebook messages or the harassing note because I don't have it because I didn't know what to expect. I've had many dogs in my lifetime, never been up against this, and didn't really feel like I had, what we're doing tonight is not the impression that I was under that we were going to be doing. This is supposed to be about the dogs and not our lack of relationship, which a lot of that seems to
it is about the dogs.
I understand. I'm saying that's my understanding. I feel like it's a lot of it's the lack of relationship. After many attempts to reason with May about her ranting texts, I decided to cut off all communication. I did go and get some advice and was told to just cut her off, so I did. Page 58, the Koval letter states that she met me in 2016, Can't be possible. I lived in Germantown the entire year of 2016 and half of 2017. I did not purchase my home until July of 2018. I adopted Ellie in August of 2017 at 3 months and moved into the Cross Green home in October of 2017. So when I moved here, Ellie was about 4 months old. Koval stated that I was in the process of adopting a kitten and ended up with my first dog. It's not my first dog, it's my fifth dog. I've raised them from puppies to adults, 45 pounds to 70 pounds. Never had a problem controlling them. I've also never had a dog that was reactive like Ellie became after about a year and a half. Let's see. Since Diane's letter is not dated, I have to assume it was written between February and April because she states Ellie has not walked with a muzzle. I was never told to use a muzzle. That came about when I was working with Dr. Reich and we discussed it. And then I'll get to that. Page 60 and 61, the front door pictures, those are my front doors. It was to show you the railing so that when the retractable leash pulled against it, to show that and the force. On February 8th, I placed Ellie's retractable leash on her pink swim collar that has a plastic clasp, as I did for most walks. There's a picture of that. Page 59. While heading out for our walk, I was holding the leash in my left hand, pulling the door closed with my right, and the retractable leash was not locked at that point. I had it in my left hand. Ellie lunged around my neighbor's railing. You can see the door pictures. I don't know what number they are, but I think you've already seen them.
Did your dog attack Dewey?
I'm getting there. So Ellie lunged around the neighbor's railing, the momentum causing her collar to break open and me to lose my balance and go flying headfirst into the parked car on the street in front of my house. I'm not disputing that she went after Dewey. I didn't know Dewey was out there when it happened. And as while there was blood running down my face, I was able to grab the scruff of Ellie's neck. But May was kicking and screaming instead of picking up her 2-pound dog. And she kicked my hand, which caused me to lose hold of Ellie. And then I guess that caused Ellie to go after Dewey again. At that point is when I noticed that Dewey's collar and leash was off. I still say that it's frayed. It certainly wasn't bitten off. With both dogs off leash, I ran and grabbed Ellie at the second time, at which point the neighbor had Ellie's leash and collar. They were put back on and he brought her home while his wife helped me to attend to my wounds. I immediately called my friend and her husband, Eric, who's a retired paramedic, to check my wounds and Ellie's, as well as to go over to May's house and check on her dog. Eric said that I needed to go to the ER. Ellie would be okay. And as far as Ellie's dog, all he saw was a puncture wound, but also found May difficult to speak to at that time. I did text May while I was in the hospital to inquire about her dog. It was brief as I was in pain, receiving stitches and icing my finger from her kick and rebounding from the incident as well. Over the course of several days, I received texting rants from May with her dogs and her vet bills. Her texting rants included statements about my vicious dog, her never wanting to see or speak to me again, and how she needed to save the community from my dog. At that point, I said, just start mailing stuff. I was dealing with COVID-19 at work, and I just wasn't going to deal with her rants anymore. As far as Ellie, I adopted her from a rescue league at 3 months old. She was very loving with other dogs, cats, and humans of all ages. I didn't know much about her background. I did know that she had some BBs embedded in her body and that she had a rough beginning, but she was very loving. We had daily play dates with other dogs of all sizes and ages. I have done lots of training with Ellie. She went to dog parks, dog daycare. When she was a little over a year and a half, she was cornered by three dogs at a dog park. So I had to carry her out of the park. The next time we went back, I noticed her anxiety and that she was very clingy. So we left and I stopped all the dog park visits, but continued dog play dates and things in the neighborhood, and things were fine. And then one day when I dropped her off at the dog daycare, I noticed that she was shaking and didn't want to go in. So I stopped that as well. I hired a dog walker who took Ellie for walks with other dogs as well as on play dates, and there were never any problems. I also contacted a dog behaviorist at that point, not a veterinarian, Mary Huntsberry, to address the anxiety that I was seeing. Mary and I worked with Ellie for a while, but I still wasn't seeing the changes I had hoped to see. By the time Ellie was two, I noticed the anxiety being displayed during the one-on-one play dates and also in the neighborhood. So I stopped play dates and I sought out the veterinary behaviorist, Dr. Rice. After spending time with her, she put Ellie on sertraline to help the anxiety, and we did more reactive training with Ellie and worked on my walking technique. On April 26th, Ellie did break off of her collar and retractable leash again when coming out the door. But I was immediately able to run over, pick Ellie up, and all the lady said to me over her shoulder was, "Does your dog have her rabies vaccines?" And I said, "Yes." It's the only communication that we had. Yes, I did not verbally cuss May, but gave her the finger because I could.
Stick to the dog. The issue is your dog.
Like, okay. She brought it up, so I was just saying.
You covered it, so let's go.
Okay. So at this time, I called Dr. Reich. We discussed that I should start muzzle training, put Ellie on a harness, no more retractable leashes. And then she added amitriptyline to Ellie's medications. She said it takes time to find the correct type and dose of meds, and it's been over a month. At this point now, in May or June, it has been well over a month since we added that. Ellie is now more relaxed on walks and no longer cares when other dogs approach her. She does react when people scoop up their animal and start getting all hysterical about it. I believe both of the initial incidents happened due to the pink swim collar and retractable leash that I was using. Had I not been using those and been using a harness, I would have had control of Ellie. I can certainly handle a 45-pound dog. Ellie has had a lot of training, 16 weeks of the AKC puppy and adult dog training. She's certified to work with the elderly at the long-term community where I work. She swims, she does agility training. I'm still working with some of the training that Mary Huntsberry gave us. I'm in constant contact with Dr. Reich, and I'm trying to give Ellie the best life I can, as she is a living being. And last are just letters on Ellie's behalf from friends, people that we walk with on a regular basis, the companies that we go to for swimming and agility, the dog walker, and some letters from a family member as well as a nurse from the long-term care community where I work and where Ellie goes to work with me on occasion.
Okay. I have a couple questions. Tell us exactly what meds your dog is on now, if you would.
She's on sertraline and amitriptyline.
Okay, and what are the dosages on that?
I'll grab them. I have them right here. I'll grab them.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Come back. Oh, for God's sakes.
Amitriptyline is a 25 milligram tablet and a half twice a day. And the sertraline is the same thing, a 25 milligram and a half of a 25 milligram twice a day.
Okay. And has Ellie ever attacked any other dogs?
She has not.
So to the best of your knowledge, this is the only dog that Ellie has bitten?
That is correct.
Okay. Those are my questions. Ms. Slash, let me see, does the board have any questions they want to ask before Ms. Slash does her cross-examination? Dr. Handel?
I have a question. Do we have any documentation or letters or records from Dr. Reich?
No, I didn't submit them because I wasn't really sure what to submit. And I have stuff from her, but I did not ask her for anything. We talked about it.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, Ms. Slash, why don't you go ahead and ask Ms. Brown any questions? And let's try to just talk about the dog and not the dynamic.
Well, I understand, because there's a lot I wish I could say, but I'm not sure. I'm going to be okay. April 26th, you said that there was only one attack on the dog. So are you saying that the April 26th attack on the other smaller dog was not a dog attack? What happened on April 26th at 7:30 in the morning?
Nothing. Ellie ran over there and I grabbed her. To my knowledge, there was nothing. The woman only said over her shoulder, "Does your dog have all its rabies?" And I said, all its shots, including rabies. And I said, "Of course." That's the only conversation we had.
So am I allowed to ask so if I have proof that there was an attack and I've submitted it to Simone, Officer Williams and Officer White, can I pull that?
So, I think you've asked the witness the question. You can argue what you want to argue in your closing argument, but I think you asked her and she answered it.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to explore that further, you can.
No, it's, you know what? It's a simple question. Did your dog attack another dog on April 26th? And if you're claiming that didn't happen,
I don't have anything that said there was contact.
To the owner, but that's fine. Okay. All right.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. And do the board members have any questions? All right, Ms. Brown, was there anybody else you wanted to testify on your behalf?
Arnold Schwartz.
Okay. Let's bring on Mr. Schwartz. Hello, Mr. Schwartz.
Hey.
Go ahead, Ms. Brown, and ask whatever question you would like to ask.
Can he just read his statement?
No, this is an examination. You ask questions and he answers them.
Well, that is clearly not what we were under. I'm not a lawyer.
Why don't you just
listen? Arnold, what would you like to say about Ellie? I mean, I don't know what to ask.
Am I allowed to read a statement or what?
It's really not the format, okay? It's an examination of a witness. The format is for Ms. Brown to ask you questions and then you answer them. It's not that complicated.
No, I understand that, but the officer instructed Ms. Brown that I could read a statement, but if that's the format, if she was in error, that's fine. So, but
just,
it kind of...
Just ask the question, Ms. Brown. Just ask him a question. You can ask him the questions to get the information out that you want.
All right. What would you like to say about Ellie?
I'd like to let the board know something about me before I speak about Ellie. Is that appropriate or not?
Sure. Ms. Brown, ask Mr. Schwartz. What do you want?
All right, Mr. Schwartz, what is it that you do for a living?
I am an accountant, but I'm employed by the Montgomery County Humane Society. I have spent more time with Ellie than anybody else, except for Ms. Brown. And just so you know, Ms. Brown and I are cousins. She's a first cousin once removed. And I've known Ms. Brown her whole life. We both grew up in Montgomery County, and our families visited regularly when we were kids. And
I'm sorry, that's just not relevant. Okay, so one, do you live in the neighborhood? Have you seen the dog in the neighborhood or no?
What, you talking about Ellie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've lived there months at a time.
Okay, so why don't you ask about what you want us to know about Ellie?
Easy enough. I have spent months taking care of Ellie, walking her every day, feeding her, giving her pills, taking her down into Muddy Branch Trail. She loves it down there. She loves the woods. She loves the creek. She loves people. She is not food aggressive. She is not dog aggressive. I mean, she is dog. She can be dog aggressive. She is not toy aggressive. She is not. What's the word I was looking for? She's not bone aggressive with anything in the house. She had a cat. Her son had a cat living with us for a year, and they played together all the time, and nothing ever happened to the cat. Whether that's relevant or not, I don't know. I'm kind of off kilter here because I was instructed I'd be reading a statement, so I apologize.
Have you ever seen Ellie attack a dog?
No, I have never seen her attack a dog.
Have you seen a difference in Ellie since the medications?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But her anxiety doesn't just, before the pills, didn't just stop with her aggression to other dogs. It manifested in her whole life. And the drugs have made a massive change for her. I don't want to make light of the syndrome, but I think she has PTSD due to being abused as a puppy and bad experiences at daycare and bad experiences in puppy parks. It's an unfortunate thing for her because now she cannot do any play dates any longer with many of Cindy's friends who have dogs and so forth. And it does affect her quality of life and so forth. We, of course, have had conversations, many conversations with the vet who is handling her medications. We do not know if her anxiety and issues with other dogs are nature, nurture, or both. And, of course, the most important
question. Not really relevant. Okay. So just tell us about the dog if you have anything else.
Well, then,
have you ever seen the dog be aggressive towards another dog?
Be aggressive towards another dog?
Yes.
I just lost you guys. You know what I'm saying? I lost you guys.
We can see and hear you.
Yeah, how about that? Okay.
Okay.
Sure, and I've seen other dogs be aggressive towards her.
Great, but we're talking about this dog. So, have there been any, and you've seen a change in the dog's disposition since the medication began, correct?
Total change, absolutely.
And can you tell us when we switched from using an extended leash to a regular leash and a halter? Do you know when that change happened?
I
it's okay. You can say, I don't know. That's fine.
No. I mean, you're asking questions now. I don't recognize the dates. This is not right. So, she had, as in the packet, you know, the pink collar, and she had a harness, and I found out about a year ago by mistake. She was down in the woods. You're probably gonna tell me it's not relevant again. She wanted to chase a deer. I had hooked it into the pink collar and did not realize until that moment that she could pull out of the pink collar. I meant to hook it in a harness, her old harness, and didn't do so. She, of course, found out that chasing a deer is a trivial pursuit. I found her in the woods and took her home, and I did instruct Miss Brown to be careful in the future to make sure that she hooks into the right D-ring, because both D-rings were right next to each other in front of her. That's all gone away. She has an entirely different harness. It's heavy duty. It has two D-rings on her back, which straddle the clip. She can't get out of it. She can't break it, and she can't pull it apart. When I take her for walks down in the creek, I use the extended leash. Miss Brown doesn't use that. because I don't want to get in the creek with her.
Okay.
It's not my thing to do. Probably irrelevant again. So.
Do you think that I can handle Ellie physically?
I think if you keep her on, I think she should be muzzled. Only for, I have a concern about that, but I think on a short leash with a muzzle, because she's been there 3 years, and this is a one-time event. It's not like this happens once a week. And she's not the only dog. I know you're talking about something, but she's not the only dog in the Kentlands, Lakelands region that's aggressive. I've run into them. So she's not unique in that department. Yeah, I think you can handle that because you've done it many, you've done it 2-3 times a day for 3 years.
Mr. Schwartz, did you witness either of these incidents, the incident involving Dewey or any other incident?
No, I was not there when the incident with Dewey. I was not in town, no.
All right. Ms. Brown, did you have any other questions of Mr. Schwartz?
No.
Ms. Schlash, do you have any questions of Mr. Schwartz?
Just one. Mr. Schwartz, I've run into you in the neighborhood occasionally while you have Ellie, correct? And I have Dewey.
No, it's not correct.
We've never run into each other when I've had Dewey outside and you've had Ellie outside? Have we never run into each other?
Run into each other, meaning like, Dewey?
Have we ever been outside in front of our homes? At some point, have we never been outside with both of our dogs? With both of them?
Certainly.
Okay. Has there ever been, to your recollection, and it's okay if you don't remember, but has there ever been in a situation where you have had to physically restrain Ellie with force so as to not charge at my dog?
No more than you've held yours back.
So
I'm going to take that as a yes. Does anybody else have, do you have another question?
2 pound dog.
I know, Ms. Slash.
I'm finished. I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm finished.
All right. Anybody on the board have any further questions of Mr. Schwartz? Yeah? Okay. Ms. Brown, did you have any other witnesses that you wanted to present?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
This is Joe.
All right. Then we can dismiss Mr. Schwartz. And you will each be permitted no more than 5 minutes for a closing argument, okay? It's late, everybody's getting tired. Ms. Schlash, you get to go first, and Ms. Brown, you get the last word. So Ms. Schlash, go ahead, please.
Okay, sure. I just wanna go back. I do think that a lot of the evidence presented today, as well as the testimonies and the witnesses and my statements, all really do a pretty good job of deeming Ellie as a potentially dangerous animal in the community. I am here because, once again, I just wanna repeat, I would like to feel safe walking my dog in my neighborhood. There's a few things. I love my dog, and I'm sure she loves her dog. At the end of the day, what was considered harassment on Ms. Brown's part was simply me trying to resolve a matter, an incident that occurred with my dog.
Harassment is really not before us, so let's just.
No, all right, okay, no harassment.
Don't worry about it.
Sure, no problem. It's okay. Okay. I do think that going back to deem this dog as potentially dangerous, her witness actually just kind of spoke a little bit to that with the fact that he has to put a specific collar on with D-rings. And I don't know, but there is evidence that the dog is, they've had to go to certain measures, you know, take measures to prevent the dog from coming out of the leash and to be on medication and to go to, you know, there are a number of things that have been put into place here because the dog is dangerous and to prevent it from being dangerous in the future. And that's what I'm asking. I'm just afraid that up to this point, the dog was only recently muzzled in the past few weeks. I have seen, my witnesses have actually observed the dog before that without a muzzle. I've observed the dog without a muzzle, so the whole muzzling situation is very recent. I just want to feel safe walking my dog. I don't want to have to pick him up out of, you know, a traumatic situation that occurred with me that shook me up, that I can't help but want to protect my dog about. So, yeah, I mean, that's okay. It. I'm sorry. That's all.
Ms. Brown, you get the last word. Go ahead and give us your closing.
The collar and leash and the medications are recognizing the issue. I have worked very hard with Ellie. I have spent a lot of money that, you know, when I got a puppy, I knew there was going to be costs. I didn't expect to have to get a veterinary behaviorist involved. But I'm working with her and I'm doing what I need to do. She's on the meds. I'm going to continue them. The muzzle, I did start right after the April incident. I started training her with it, but it's not something you can slap on and keep on for an hour walk. I mean, it takes time to teach her how to wear that so she's not afraid of it. She does now, probably since the first week in May, she has been wearing the muzzle every time I've taken her out for the entire walks. You know, she's not getting any water unless she can drink it through the muzzle out of the creek. I mean, what else can I do? You know, she's a living being. I'm doing the best that I can to give her a good life. And I'm doing whatever I can. I don't want her to be dangerous to the neighborhood. So she's wearing a muzzle and a leash. I will do better to stay out of May's way. But unfortunately, we do live next door to each other. But, you know, I can't help it if she's out there. I'm usually the one that's out first walking, because I walk early in the morning, I walk as soon as I get home from work, and I walk again in the evening.
Okay.
And I walk 6 miles a day. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both very much. I think we generally try to get a written decision out in about 30 days. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, then I would say good night to all of you. And thank you very much for your presentation.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.